Greetings, God's beloved. Thanks for tuning into the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our reading today comes from Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Preaching today is Pastor Jason Adams. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard this saying that goes, we are to love people and use things. But in our world, so many love things and use people. I don't know who said that, but seems true enough in my experience. How did we mess that up? There seems to be something that we value so highly that's worth throwing away a relationship. Something gained by occasionally trampling on someone's dignity and personhood, and regularly looking past their and our own belovedness to obtain, own, or maintain. In our family growing up, we had just enough to get by, I guess. There was probably more debt than savings, more campouts than vacations, sumptuous feasts. We'd go to Grandma's house for Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. With my father working just about all the time, mom raising five kids at home while working as a child care provider for neighbors or cleaning homes on the side, they made it work. We wore hand-me-down clothes and played with hand-me-down toys. And we didn't live in a large city, but we knew others who had less than us, so we learned to be grateful. And looking back, it's easy to see how without a strong support system, insurance, help from extended family, one health crisis, one accident, one disaster can sink a family that's just trying to get by. And we can look at casinos on the strip not half a mile from here and massive homes for sale here in Las Vegas and know there is tremendous wealth all around us. And still, the number of homeless and hungry among us, which was high before March of 2020, has grown exponentially in the past year. And the wealth gap that existed during Jesus' ministry has persisted through the millennia, and the chasm between us seems to only have grown in our lifetimes. So we know there's a housing crisis right here in our neighborhood. And across this valley, there are people sleeping in bushes, behind bus stations, in local parks. We know it will get worse when eviction moratoriums begin to expire, and there are shelters and agencies to help, each one struggling to pay staff salaries and provide needed items and emergency relief. We work with them. They are our partners, and they can do so much, and yet I see how they struggle to work together at times. And as the body of Christ in the world, we know in our heads, at least, hopefully in our hearts too, that we are called to help and alleviate the burdens of our neighbors when and where we are able. We've heard this word from Moses and the prophets. They attest to this. You shall not wrong or oppress a resident alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt, from Exodus 22. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, from Isaiah chapter 1. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6:8. Oh, Amos 2, remember this one. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. But it didn't stop there. John the Baptist proclaimed a similar message. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Jesus carries the same message in his own body and walks it into the world in his ministry, proclaiming the present and coming kingdom of God, reminding and teaching, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. And let's state for the record that the vast majority of us living in this nation, watching and worshiping here today, are the rich. Okay, maybe we're not Jeff Bezos or Sheldon Adelson or Kardashian rich. If you are, let's talk. But we have more relative wealth among us than families living a world away from here. Most of us are comfortable. We will not worry today about where our next meal is coming from. We keep all this in mind as we hear Jesus tell this story of the unnamed rich man and Lazarus. This rich man lived safely in a gated community. Not his fault. Maybe he was born there. We don't know that he built that gate. He certainly had his own family and servants to provide for, and hosting the daily feast with his father and five brothers. That was hard work, too, sure. His purple clothes were rare and expensive, and you wouldn't want to get them dirty. Well, he knew this guy Lazarus by name. He passed him probably just about every day going out the gate. Lazarus didn't have clothes. No, his skin was broken with gross sores. It was failing. He didn't have a feast, but he would have been happy with what fell from the rich man's table, just a few crumbs. His health care system was the dogs that would come and lick the wounds he had. And in time, of course, both men's journey came to an end. Lazarus was carried away, and the rich man was buried. And in the place of the dead, the rich man, who's being tortured, cries out for Abraham. Cries out to demand one more task from old Lazarus. Give him some work. Make him a servant to help him cool off the rich man who's suffering so. But the great reversal had already taken place. Lazarus would not be commanded. The rich man had no authority in this place. So instead, he asked, maybe Lazarus could go and warn the family of the rich man so they would not be bound for the flames themselves. But Abraham explained that time for warnings was over. It was done. Did he miss the memo? Moses and the prophets, they called the people to act with justice, to give generously, to show compassion and mercy. Why did the rich man and his brothers not heed the call? They can't plead ignorance. Do you think that if maybe there was one who rose from the dead, then all of a sudden they'd change? Wealth, I don't think, is the enemy in the story. We tend to think that way. It may sound that way on the surface, but as we hear this, it's the indifference and the apathy that haunt us more. They're familiar. Because human selfishness and the inability to see beyond our own nose is more deadly and affects us all, whether we have means or we struggle to get by. We are all more often concerned about what we have and the level of comfort we live in than the pain that is just outside our doors. Just down at Baker Park, or down Sherwood Ave, or Main and Foremaster, at D Street and Bonanza. Do we have empathy? What does that mean to have empathy? Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Why could the rich man not have put himself in the shoes of the one who lay at his gate? Why don't we? If we've never had anxiety about how we were going to pay a bill or buy groceries or obtain medical care, it could be hard to understand what that would be like. Or if we fail to listen to the voices of those who are hurting, we will not learn what their experience is like. If we do not challenge prejudices and find the commonalities we all share, we'll continue to feel superior and make God's children out to be others or place blame. If we're not curious or concerned about the real day-to-day existence of our neighbors who struggle to survive, we will miss the opportunity to understand how to help. And there remains this chasm between us. I don't know that there are easy answers. I don't expect there are, or solutions. But I do expect, as we gather to worship this week and each week, and we hear these words of Jesus, that most of us are concerned. We all want to help those who are suffering. We want to share from our abundance. And we know we have so much to give. But we're comfortable too. So we hear this teaching and we may feel convicted. It reminds us of the ways that we've failed to help, or the ways that we cling to what makes us feel most secure, and how we are just as guilty as this rich man of looking past those who lay at our own gates. Of course, here we work together to share the heart of Christ in the heart of the city. That's who we are as this church, and we have partners in ministry who serve with us, like Lutheran Social Services of Nevada and our senior meal program that happens right in this room every day. We work with Family Promise and Nevadans for the Common Good and Martin's Mart and the Nevada Homeless Alliance and Caridad and more. But this story is not just a call for us to do more, give more, care more. This word also reminds us of who we are and of the God who loves us and gives us everything we need. From stars and trees and food and families, down to his own blood for us. And in it, the freedom from our desires and selfishness and greed. Jesus is telling this story because he's teaching about himself. He is the one who can bridge the chasm between us. The chasm between our desires and our real needs to be sustained by God. To be sustained by God's love. The chasm between our scarcity mindsets, thinking we'll never have enough or be enough, and the abundance of God's grace. The chasm between our privilege and pride and his powerful mercy and the faith that transforms our hearts. Jesus is stronger than our indifference. God is greater than our greed. In faith, we meet this Jesus who steps in to heal wounds of the world and the ones that are self-inflicted. Jesus who reminds us that we are part of God's family, not left outside that gate, welcomed in, provided for. And he opens the gates of the kingdom to all, the rich and the poor and alike, through the cross. He is that one that has risen from the dead to transform us and the whole world for the sake of the love of the one who made us. He's the one who welcomes us not to be tormented, but to be freed to serve and love and give and live in peace with all of God's creatures, with our neighbors, and to see the world through God's eyes. And there's no chasm that he will not cross to be the bridge between us and the least of his children. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you reach out in love through Jesus Christ to save us so that we may live as faithful servants of you alone. Unchain us from our desire for wealth and power. Free us so that we may in turn release others from prisons of poverty, hunger, and oppression, and be transformed for your kingdom. Amen.